You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to Locked On Saints, covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, here for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Ross Jackson. Follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC, and I'm cutting this intro short because I want to get today's very late episode out as quickly as possible. Thanks for your patience with me. My meeting ran super, super long today. You know how it is, man, planning a wedding. We had a lot going on. So you know the deal. Go ahead and follow the podcast on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and of course, the new Himalaya Podcast app, and be sure to check out the show while you're in your vehicle by saying your keyword, then play podcast Locked On Saints. Big news today. After he went missing for what felt like months, the Saints are finally expected to sign tight end Jared Cook. We don't yet have the details about what that deal will be or what that contract will look like, but we can certainly talk about what his impact with the team is going to be. Then we'll chat about the other Saints news that dropped today, or at least throughout the day. Cameron Meredith restructures. I'll tell you what that means beyond just the money that he helped to save. And then we'll talk about the other new Saints signing, cornerback and return specialist Marcus Sherrills. Then, of course, we'll close everything out by taking a look at some of the biggest stories from around the league, all that, and a little bit of land yap right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the big news that we're all very excited about. That is the signing of tight end Jared Cook. This is the first time that Drew Brees might have a formidable tight end in his lineup since the trade for Max Unger that sent Jimmy Graham to Seattle took place in 2015. This is huge for the Saints offense to have a big body like Jared Cook, 6'5", 254 pounds, somebody that can run over the middle, be a presence there, is a veteran, knows how to work in zone coverage, has some great run after catch ability as well, especially for his size and just some brute strength. There's a replay floating around right now. I actually retweeted it too, but replay floating around of him, I think it was against the Rams maybe, it's where he just literally stiff armed somebody into their grave. It was just, oh, it was massive. So, you know, all just being able to bring all of that to New Orleans and being able to bring that big time, big body pass catcher out of that tight end position back to New Orleans really sort of helps the offense get back to its place to where, you know, you're going to be, I'm not saying that the Saints are going to be putting up 40 points a game or anything like that, but there's just unlimited potential with this offense yet again. Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, then you add in Jared Cook, and then hopefully one of the other wide receivers gets rolled in again, whether that be Ted Ginn Jr. stepping back into his number two role and doing so well, Tre'Quan Smith stepping up, Cameron Meredith might be able to come back and finally be healthy for a season. I'll talk about that in the next segment, but there's just so much opportunity. Then you have the addition of Latavius Murray, again, 6'3", you know, 225 pounds, 220 whatever pounds, 230 pounds, I think, and, you know, fast, ran 4.38, got that speed, has the size, so there's a lot that the Saints are going to have a lot of fun with. Sean Payton's going to have a lot of fun on the offense this year, and then, of course, you know, they've got Teddy Bridgewater back, so that's a full offseason of being able, they've got Teddy Bridgewater back, so it's a full offseason now that they have with Taysom Hill to sort of get him more incorporated in the offense. So there's so much possibility here. There's so much potential. And Jared Cook just adds to that. 68 catches last year, 898 yards, and what was it? 6 touchdowns. So, you know, is he going to repeat that same type of production? Probably not. I mean, he doesn't necessarily have to, but when you look at what the Saints had last year, 4 touchdowns from their 3 tight ends, 740 yards, he should be able to at least provide that on his own if he's able to return to form from last year. But the big thing is, you know, can he score more? Because that's really kind of the big thing here. The Saints had the 3 tight ends. You know, Dan Arnold dropped a touchdown in the playoffs. He also dropped a touchdown in the regular season as well. So, you know, you get that more sure-handed, big body, red zone threat that can also be a threat really all over the field in Jared Cook. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see, you know, more production and more scoring coming from the tight end position. A lot of that is going to have to do with Jared Cook. The way that I expect things to work out, assuming that this deal gets done, which as of right now, there's no reason to expect that it won't. They're just doing what they need to do to get it done. So assuming that this deal gets worked out, I imagine then that you've got Jared Cook, you've got Josh Hill, and then it's going to be kind of a battle between Dan Arnold to remain as one of the tight ends in the lineup, and then also Garrett Griffin. And if it was my vote, I would keep Garrett Griffin on the active roster as somebody who is out there and is a blocking specialist, but that can also work in the red zone as well, and then be able to run those types of big tight end sets with Josh Hill, Garrett Griffin and Jared Cook. And then, you know, defense doesn't necessarily know where the ball is going in those red zone formations. You can draw attention with Jared Cook. You know, it's not just about his playmaking ability when the ball is in the air and when he's being targeted. It's just the potential of his playmaking ability and the way that that makes defense's game plan for him and how that might open up another, you know, Zach line out in the flat type touchdown for Drew Brees. So lots of potential here for what the Saints will be able to do with a guy like Jared Cook. Again, do I think he needs to go over 1,000 yards receiving or like Jimmy Graham was doing? No, not at all. You know, he doesn't need to be able to do that. He just needs to be able to produce and be able to work at the level that he's consistently worked at throughout his entire career. So as these contract details are going to be coming out soon, one of the things that I'm hoping is that the Saints have done a really good job of finding a place, sort of a happy medium between paying for last year's production, but then also being able to have some foresight and looking at to what you anticipate next year's production to be and what his role in the offense necessitates in terms of stats and then what that translates into pay. So what is that going to be? We'll find out. I expect it to be somewhere around $8 million a year. I could see the Saints doing a 3 or 4 year contract with all the guaranteed money in the first 2 years, or even just doing a short-term 2 year contract. He's 32 years old. Do the Saints really want to keep him and continue to pay him at like a starting tight end when he's 35? Maybe. It might work out. It worked out with Ben Watson, but how often is that going to happen? We'll see. But bottom line, Jared Cook supposed to be on the roster next season, 2019, and that shapes up and bodes very, very well for this Saints offense. All right, stick around. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Cameron Meredith, Marcus Sherrills, and then we'll jump to the biggest stories from around the league. Got all that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Hooded Nation, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Remember to get this show every single day. Be sure to subscribe to Locked On Saints on the new Himalaya podcast app, which will give you personally curated playlists and also comes with new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Saints. So we just talked about Jared Cook. Let's go ahead and talk about some more Saints news. What else happened today? Well, one of the big things that happened was that Cameron Meredith, wide receiver, which you remember that Saints signed last year off of a restricted free agency tender that they offered and that, you know, they gave him an offer sheet from the Bears and then the Bears didn't match. And so the Saints ended up signing him about a year ago, signed him during free agency last year. Well, he didn't get to play a lot during the 2018 season, but apparently the Saints are feeling pretty good about him. And here's a couple reasons why. So he took a pay cut today, dropped his base salary from $3.4 million to $1.3 million. But then, you know, also some bonuses and things like that, dropped his salary cap hit for 2019 from $6.45 million to $4.15 million. So that saved the Saints $2.3 million in salary cap space. Some of that might have had to do with, you know, the preparation of bringing in and signing Marcus Sherrills, which we'll talk about here in a second, and also the preparation of bringing in and signing Jared Cook. There's also, of course, the Robert Quinn factor that's continually floating around as trade talks continue to spiral, or not spiral, but continue to swirl around that. And then, of course, also he is apparently in New Orleans visiting the Saints very soon, if not already. So there's a lot of reasons why this pay cut would happen, but let's not just focus on the money that this helps the Saints save, because it does help the Saints save a good bit of money. 2.3 is a good chunk of change, especially with the way that the Saints have been working their contracts so far this offseason, putting, you know, heavier hits toward the end and then making, you know, for instance, Latavius Murray's contract, even though it's averaged $3.6 million per year, his cap hit for this season is only $1.4 million. So they're doing things like that with utilizing signing bonuses and things to sort of lessen the hit for this year. So, you know, look, $2.3 million for this year, that's another player. So in terms of the way that Loomis has been working, so this is good. But so beyond that, what else does it mean? I think that this also is a vote of confidence for Cameron Meredith. I know what you're thinking. Oh, it's a pay cut. What do you mean a vote of confidence? But, you know, look, the Saints could have saved $3.7 million just by cutting him, just by getting rid of him this season. They would have added to their dead money total, but it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have made a difference. They still would have saved more than they would have lost. So we ended up actually getting $3.7 million, which is a $1.4 million difference right now. Again, almost another player at that point. So what does this mean for Cameron Meredith and what does this mean for the Saints? I think that this means that Cameron Meredith, they're feeling pretty good about him and they feel like he's going to be able to come back next season and at least be able to challenge for that starting slot position role. Again, remember, Cameron Meredith is exactly what it is that the Saints like in the slot. 6'3", 207 pounds. He's a big target in the middle. He's one of those quote unquote big slot guys, kind of like what Marcus Colston was for the Saints. So look, the fact that they're willing to keep him on the roster and then the fact that he's willing to restructure his contract to stay and especially to take a pay cut in order to stay tells you a couple couple of things. Tells you that the Saints are confident in him and that he is confident in the Saints. And this is one of the things that we love to see during the offseason. This guy is going to be 27 years old a little bit after the season starts, September 21st. And he's looking at, you know, season-ending ACL injuries, didn't play a single snap in 2017, struggled, and then couldn't like put forth his full recovery effort in 2018, and he's coming back to the Saints. You want to keep as much money as you can. You want to make as much money as you can usually when you're coming from that kind of background to where, you know, you're not sure what's going to happen, you're unsure with your health and things like that. And Cameron Meredith is so steady on staying with the Saints that he was willing to take a pay cut to stay here, and I think that's a great sign. That's just part of the culture. This is why I laugh when a lot of people make fun of the idea of culture and everything, because it does count. It does matter. So this is a good move for the Saints, good move for Cameron Meredith, and also good news for Cameron Meredith, as it shows that the team has some confidence in wanting to keep him around, and then he returns the good faith with that pay cut. And then real quick, we'll touch on that other signing that I mentioned a moment ago. The Saints have signed yet another Minnesota Viking. This is the third Minnesota Viking that they've signed so far this offseason. Started with Latavius Murray, then went to Nick Easton, and now the Saints have signed cornerback and return specialist Marcus Sherrills. The Saints finally have a return specialist. This comes a few days after Tommy Lee Lewis signing with the Detroit Lions. Remember, the Saints had no intent on picking up his tender in the first place anyway, so it makes a lot of sense that the Saints would be in the market for a return man and a return specialist, and they finally got one. And Marcus Sherrills is absolutely no joke. This dude has been good for a very, very long time. So when you look at what he did just last year as compared to Tommy Lee Lewis as a punt returner. Tommy Lee Lewis's longest punt return, I think it was Rod Walker that tweeted this from The Advocate. Tommy Lee Lewis's longest punt return last season was 17 yards. The next after that was Alvin Kamara for 16 yards. Marcus Sherrills had six separate returns of 20 yards or more. Over his 23 punt returns last year, he had over 270 return yards. As for Tommy Lee Lewis last year, 11 returns and only 68 return yards on punts. He's never had over 200 return yards. He's gone over 100. He went over 150 yards in 2016 when he managed to bring up 160 return yards, including a muffed punt, but still no punt return touchdowns. Now, Marcus Sherrills didn't have any punt return touchdowns in the last two seasons, did have two in 2016 and had another one the 3 years before that. I think it was 1 year in between that he didn't have one. So, you know, you can either look at it as if he's, I would never say that he's falling off, but you could look at it that way. Like maybe he isn't as explosive as he was before, but you could, man, look, just go look at his tape and you can see that there is nothing less explosive about Marcus Sherrills. You know, he came in the league in 2018, so at 9 years, 2010, so at 9 years later, nothing less explosive about him at this point. So you can definitely expect Sherrills to come in and be strictly the return specialist. Over the past 3 years, I'll just look at in Minnesota, he hasn't really played a ton of snaps on defense. 16 coverage snaps in 2018, 18 snaps in 2017, and 3 coverage snaps in 2016. He did play more on defense in each of those years, but in terms of when he was in coverage, that was it. He was targeted only once last year in those 16 coverage snaps and did allow one catch for 24 yards with 18 yards after catch, you know, coming after the catch there. So not somebody that you would want to rely on in coverage, but also not necessarily a reliability either, if that makes sense. I mean, it's one thing to give up yardage, but in his entire career, he's given up 4 touchdowns in the limited snaps that he's played on defense. So not absolutely terrible at all, but I would definitely put him at cornerback number 5 as somebody as an emergency depth body at that cornerback position, with Justin Hardy and Ken Crawley being the two to sort of duke it out for cornerback number 4 spot there, which I imagine would be Justin Hardy, as I don't expect Ken Crawley makes it through training camp at all, if I'm just being honest. And I'm perfectly comfortable with that. So Marcus Sherrills, big time addition for the Saints. Darren Rizzi gets his return man. The Saints get a return specialist for the first time in a while. You can expect him to handle punt returns, while maybe Taysom Hill continues to handle kick returns, at least at this moment. So all right, y'all, stick around. When we come back here, I'm going to be talking about some of the biggest stories from around the league. Got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Remember, you can always take us on the road with you just by telling your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints. And make sure you also subscribe to the podcast on Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and the new Himalaya podcast app as well. All right, so time now for us to take a look at some of the biggest stories from around the league. Actually, you know what? Hold on real quick. thank you for being here. I'm trying to rush through this to make sure that y'all get this and that this comes out to you early, and I mean as early as possible tonight before I record tomorrow's episode. But let me stop real quick, take a breath, and say thank you so much for being here. Our numbers have been great this week, so I appreciate you. And I say our being our, you and I, all of you that are listening. So I thank you very much for all your love and all of your support in helping me like make sure that this is, you know, getting there out to the people you've been sharing and everything. So I appreciate you and shout out to you. Y'all the real MVP. So real quick, just want to say that to say thank you. So let's talk about some of the biggest stories now. You know, one of the big names that was still left out in free agency was former Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Justin Houston. He has now signed a contract. He has been signed by the Indianapolis Colts and is going to play defensive end. I think this is a good move. This is a great move for the Colts. This is one that, you know, I could have seen the Saints making if they had a little bit more salary cap room, which I know, like they really give a crap about salary cap at this point, you know, with everything that they've been able to achieve and pull off so far. But, you know, look, he's got a two-year deal, $24 million. That's $12 million a year. That chunk of change all in 1 year could understandably be a little bit outside of the Saints pass, What am I even saying there? I'm so excited about the Saints passing game with Jared Cook that every time I say the Saints, I just want to talk about their passing game. But that makes sense that he would be a little bit outside of their budget in that way. I mean, you can look at the fact that, you know, the Saints have the opportunity now to trade for Robert Quinn, but they want to knock down his near $13 million salary to get him in as a rotational player with Marcus Davenport. You're not going to pay any defensive end $12 million, $13 million a year to be a rotational mentor for your young stud in Marcus Davenport. Another big signing that I really like, this is another one that I really, really, really like actually, is that the Ravens are bringing back quarterback Robert Griffin III to back up Lamar Jackson. This makes perfect sense to me. If you're gonna be the, you know, if you're gonna have an offense that's gonna focus around a mobile quarterback, bring in one of the best mobile quarterbacks we've seen. I know Robert Griffin has been hurt and he hasn't had as great a career as we all anticipated, but when he first came into the league, that dude was electric. Let him come in, the veteran mobile quarterback, let him come in and mentor and teach your young mobile quarterback as they, you know, sit right now in this run first offense that they've got going on, very, very run heavy focus. And how do you operate within that? And then you can start to build Lamar Jackson as a better passer with a mobile quarterback as his mentor that can also throw. So it's a two-year deal for Robert Griffin III. Glad to see him back in Baltimore and being able to work with somebody as young and talented and honestly incredible as Lamar Jackson is. Some news here on expanding replay going up for 2019 as a one-year only trial period for right now. This is a annual meeting that takes place Sunday through Wednesday of this coming week. So they're going to be voting on this pretty soon. And one of the things they're going to be voting on is whether or not to expand replay to allow for pass interference and perhaps even roughing the passer and hit on like defensive player type hits to be reviewed. According to this NFL.com article, the league's own data shows that defensive pass interference and offensive pass interference account for the most officiating errors on impactful plays. Defensive pass interference accounted for 70% of fouls with the largest impact on game-winning chance in games from the 2016 through 2018 seasons. Of the 50 biggest incorrect calls made throughout that span, 24 were defensive pass interference, and then offensive pass interference is the most common mistaken non-call. Just reading this directly from the article on NFL.com. So look, the article here explains everything really well, as well as the other types of rules that would be voted on, which have certain things to do with, you know, reviewing plays after scoring, after point after attempts, whether they be 2-point or field goal or, you know, extra point or, you know, certain things to do with kickoffs, stuff like that. So there's some rules that are going to be thrown around and discussed like that during Sunday through Wednesday. But also the thing to know about this article while you're reading is that a lot of it is in the framework of the NFC Championship game and the Saints and the Rams. But important for you to know, the Saints actually had nothing to do with any of these rules going up to the committee. The Saints didn't propose any of these rules. The Saints didn't have anything to do with it. It was other teams, several other teams from around the league that saw this and decided that they need to incite some change and sort of enforce some action and suggest some action around it. So kudos to the owners for seeing what the league couldn't see and seeing what the league couldn't foresee. There was some discussion about the sky judge, but then there's questions about where do those officials come from, things like that. I get it. So they're talking about expanding the replay and figuring out what that might mean to the NFL. So we'll hear more about that probably next week as the votes for that again happen Sunday through Wednesday during the NFL's annual league meeting. All right, y'all, that is going to do it for me for this Thursday episode. I still have a Friday episode that I'm going to record and get out to you in the morning, so make sure that you are sticking around for that. Those of you who are maybe listening for the first time, thank you again so much for being here, and I hope that you hang out and that you stick around through this off season as the Saints continue to make more and more moves. Brian Bienemy tweeted out about 3 hours ago, this is right after the Sherrill signing, and he said that the Saints aren't done yet, so if you want to know what they're doing and get an immediate reaction, an immediate analysis about what the Saints do throughout the rest of the offseason, make sure you hang out here on Locked On Saints, as I'm going to bring you every episode Monday through Friday, telling you, giving you initial reactions on every piece of news that goes on during the offseason. There's no offseason for me. There's no offseason for you as the true fans. So we are right here on Locked On Saints. So for now, let's go ahead and wrap it up like we always do. And I want to say thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the podcast. And please take some time to review and rate, especially on iTunes, whatever it is that you can do. All of it helps out a ton. To find Locked On Saints, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints at home or in your vehicle, and be sure to subscribe on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and of course the new Himalaya app, so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you so much for all of your support and helping me grow this family. Much love, y'all. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust, Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.